guardian angels, and patron saints, pray for us. Today being the octave of Easter Sunday, one continuous day of celebration since Easter, the Easter Vigil, and so certainly still proper to be wishing one another a happy Easter since it is today. So happy Easter to you, and continued blessings upon your celebration, and finding ways to enter into the spirit of Easter. It's easy, in a certain sense, it's clear what is expected of us in Lent, but it's not always as clear or as specific. What is the proper way to celebrate Easter? It's not laid out for us in the way that the time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is in the season of Lent. It's a time of freedom, it's a time of creativity, right? To be connecting with the truth of the gospel and the good news that brings us joy. And those things are unique to us, each of our families, each of our households, our own traditions. So it's something to be deliberate about, to be thinking and praying about. How can I really enter into the Easter season, just as I was called to enter into the Lenten season? That was a time of purification and preparation, but today, in this season, is that for which we were preparing. Let's do it well. One of the things that I have found particularly helpful is what's referred to here in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles as the four marks of the Christian life. The teaching of the apostles, the communal life, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. I experienced this yesterday going down to the clinic there on Leavenworth Road as we do our monthly pro-life vigil through Friday night, all through the night, Saturday morning. We have our mass for the protection of the unborn, and then we process to the Planned Parenthood clinic to pray there. And I'm always grateful for that, although I'm always sort of somewhat reluctant in the sense of I always have some other thing to get done. I feel the pressure of things on my mind. I don't have time to spare for this, but it's on the calendar, and it's important, so I go. And it's always a blessing, because when I go, I experience always something surprising. We have people who show up from various parts of the city. Yesterday we had, in addition to our parishioners who faithfully attend that, we also have students from Bishop Miege and the Spanish Club and the Pro-Life Social Justice Club that came and attended with us. Probably 24 young men from Benedictine College came and were there praying in front of the clinic when we arrived, singing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, right? And all of this wasn't anything we planned or prepared for. It just came together. And all sorts of connections are being made, visiting with people, meeting people, brought together around a common purpose, a common faith. And I left that renewed. My own troubles or my own difficulties or my own preoccupations were put in the bigger context, right? That there are real problems in the world and we need to face them. We don't need to wait until all of our own situations are squared away, like I tend to think, until we start doing the more important things that are perhaps less urgent on our own personal timeline. This is what the communal life is really meant to do. It's to draw us out of ourselves into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the mystery that is present in the incarnate Jesus in our gospel reading today. Thomas handling the resurrected, not yet glorified body of our Lord, placing his hand into the nail marks and into his side. That phrase, the body of Christ, often referred to as the mystical body of Christ or the true body of Christ. It's part of our teaching and our act of faith about the nature not only of the mysteries that we believe in and that we receive, but also about the nature of our place within the church and what the nature of the church is. We talk about the body of Christ as we distribute it here in communion, believing that it is, in fact, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, that we worship him present in the Eucharist, and we do not commit idolatry in so doing, that it is truly God, given to us as our spiritual food and a foretaste of heaven. And this dimension of the body of Christ is certainly a crucial part of our faith, and one that, unfortunately, is falling out of Catholics' minds and hearts as a tenet of faith, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. There's another dimension that is important for our faith, and it's this. St. Paul uses the analogy of the body to illustrate how it is that the life of Jesus is present in every one of his baptized members. We know that our human bodies are organized, they have specific functions, and they operate in harmony with one another and are dependent upon one another in a hierarchical way. Our brains, our skin, our blood, our nervous system, our various organs, all of them work in a harmonious whole, none of which are themselves the life of the whole body. And when I speak about myself in relationship to the body, I, as a living person, am present throughout my entire body, right? My fingers don't live with a life of their own. My heart doesn't live with a life of its own. My life is present in my body from the top of my bald head down to the bottoms of my toes. That's all me. And I'm present in each part of my body. I don't say my shin bone got on the city bus and took a ride to the grocery store, even though it's true my shin bone made that trip. It didn't make it independently of me. I made the trip. And in virtue of that, it happened to all the parts of my body. So if we then consider that analogy in relationship to the belief in the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, what St. Paul gets at is that we who belong to his body in virtue of our baptism and the faith that we share, the apostolic faith that was delivered to us through the preaching of the church, that it is Christ's life that is present in me as a member of his body. And that's true of every single one of us. We are all alive in Christ. And what happens to one part of his body happens to him. And what happens to him happens to the whole body. Just as when I get on a city bus and take a ride, every part of my body experiences that in virtue of it being united to me. This is the doctrine of the mystical body, and it's connected to the part of the creed where we profess our faith in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The word here is holy. Holy in the sense of we are part of one whole, but it is that Jesus is alive in the church, and that is what gives her her holiness. And the way we treat the body is the way we treat Jesus. And here I speak about the body united to Christ in faith. Is it possible that through the sinfulness of her members, things are done in the name of the body that are contrary to the dignity of the body? Of course. We don't lose our freedom when we become alive in Jesus. And we can abuse that freedom. And we have. Nonetheless, the whole church united to Jesus is alive with the divine and glorified life of the Holy Trinity. And that's what makes her holy. To belong to this body is the one great privilege and dignity of human life. To be cut off or separated from this body is the only real tragedy This is the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, of which St. Peter speaks in our second reading. And when we're separated from the body, when we are cut off, the Lord extends his mercy to us to reunite us. Reconciliation is like being grafted back into the living Christ and his body. And that happens through this sacrament of reconciliation. We speak of the sins that divide or cut off parts of the fullness of the faith as sins of schism and heresy. Perhaps you've heard those words. Schism is a separation from the governance of the church. Heresy is a cutting off of a certain aspect of the faith of the church, reducing its clarity and its balance, reducing it to a human product rather than a divinely revealed dogma. It's helpful to think of sin in that way. Like schism and heresy, we are cut off, separated, as surely as if a limb was amputated. Reconciliation reunites us to the body of Christ far more deeply and far more surely than a surgical reattachment of a limb to a body. That's how we get back into the life of Christ when it's been extinguished in us. This is the power to forgive sin that has been entrusted to the church in our gospel reading today. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on his apostles. And he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Jesus gives the power to his body to forgive every repented sin. Every single one. And when that takes place, when a penitent approaches the minister of this sacrament, it is Jesus himself who forgives because he is present in his body. As surely as I'm present in mine. We ought not evaluate the effectiveness of our confession by the effects that it produces in us interiorly, the psychological feelings or my own evaluation of whether or not my contrition was legitimate or whether or not the priest was fully attentive or able to give me the counsel that I was really eager to receive. The fact is, my sins are forgiven and I am reunited to the body of Jesus. This is the power of the sacrament, and it is Jesus who is present in his sacraments to heal and to reconcile. So in this holy season, today, especially on this Divine Mercy Sunday, if we have not done so already, let's take the chance to confess and receive the sacrament of reconciliation. I invite you today, I'll be in the confessional at 3 p.m. There's a holy hour here in the church for Divine Mercy Sunday. It will be in Spanish, but I will be in the confessional, and I'm able to hear your confession in English, even if there's Spanish things happening here in the church. If that's something you would like to take advantage of, I'll be here as long as the line lasts. But so too, let's reflect on today as we pray those words of the Creed. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that we are part of Christ's body. That his body continues to receive the infusion of his life that animates it, that heals it, that propels it forward in its journey to its heavenly destiny. And that life is present in each of us. To lose it is the only great tragedy. But to live in it, to let it resound in us and grow and send its roots deeper and deeper into our hearts, this is the beautiful privilege, the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded by faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Before you click over to your next podcast episode, I have a request. I don't normally address you all, the podcast audience, directly, but I do need to ask for your prayers. Last month, our school principal at Christ the King School decided this would be her last year. So my first intention is that you pray for her. Her name is Kathy. That God would bless her in her new endeavors and help us to recognize her properly for the 38 years of service that she dedicated to this school. We are currently searching for a new principal and for a number of faculty to replace those who are not returning next year. So that is my second intention, that you would pray to God to bring us a wise leader to continue Kathy's work of school leadership and to bring us capable and zealous teachers who embrace the Catholic vision of education and can model for our students the joy of learning. If you know of anyone who may be interested in applying for either of those roles, please send them to our school webpage at ctkclassical.org. Finally, I ask your prayers for my leadership. I am keenly aware of the ways my shortcomings have created needless problems and hardships for this community, despite my commitment to Christ the King School and the best of intentions. Please pray that God would be glorified through this difficult time and to intercede for all of us for continued courage, mercy, and peace for all those affected. If you would please join me now in praying the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Philomena, pray for us. Blessed Miguel Pro, pray for us.